Thank you, Brother Buzz, for that, those gracious words of introduction. Yes, it is my desire to bring to us the things that we need to hear, and the Lord knows what they are far better than I, and I do solicit an interest in your prayers that I may do that. Brother Pastor has just caused a few thoughts to come rambling through my mind as he refers back to, didn't you say, high school days? And those days were rather important to me. And at that time, I remember that there were a number of things in the church that were being done that were of great importance to me. And I was reminded of those things yesterday. Brother Rowland and some others of us met with some brethren that were interested in at least some of the things that we're interested in. Their viewpoints were a little different from ours, but I referred at the time that we were speaking with them of my high school days, because it was at that time that we turned the sod in an effort to build the temple. And as we're all aware of, our efforts had to cease, and we're still waiting for that time to come, and there are some that are very anxious that that work be accomplished. And that was part of what our discussion was yesterday. And this brings up a question. And it'll soon be 1989, 60 years. And we'll look back over the past 60 years and we look for the signs of progress. And some of our people have been rather distraught by that lack of progress. Now, what is it that causes a lack of progress in accomplishing God's purposes? And there's only one answer. That is, we have failed somehow in our diligence to bring ourselves into that condition whereby the things which the Lord promised should be and could be accomplished. I want to read a very familiar scripture to us tonight, not that I expect to solve all the problems or give a solution other than what has already been given and what we have had before us for all our lives. I want to turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew and read some things here that Jesus gave us to guide us, to be waymarks, to assist us in the accomplishment of his great purposes. And what are his great purposes? Or what is his great purpose? It's the salvation of your soul and mine. We've got a task to perform. And sometimes that task seems almost insurmountable or too great for us to accomplish. We sometimes find ourselves sitting in judgment, don't we? Upon someone? Let's look back over our lives. Did you ever look at brother or sister, so-and-so, I don't know who, you know who you think about, and I know who I think about, and say, well, they made a mistake, and because of this mistake, why, they're off the track. It may be some little thing that we look at, or it may be some big thing that we look at. But how many of us are void of passing judgment upon our brothers and our sisters? Maybe you don't have as much problem with that as I am tempted to have. And I'm not going to say just tempted, because sometimes I have done more than just been tempted. I've yielded. But when I've yielded to sit in judgment upon one of my fellows, I have disobeyed my Heavenly Father, because He says, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Now we know that's true. So let's see what Jesus said here that applies to you and me, and let's see how it applies to you and me. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. He got out there so he wouldn't be crowded. He got out there so he could speak and all could hear. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Now we have a part written down here of the parables that he spoke upon that occasion, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, right down along the path. And we know that that kind of ground is hard. It's packed. I was talking with a brother a few moments ago about digging post holes. And try to dig post holes in soil that has been affected by a long drought is an awful hard job. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, but that indicates that there was a little earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. But they did start to grow. Now, we're acquainted with those situations. We know how plants do. They start to grow, And if there isn't something to support them and keep them going, they're going to finally die when the sun gets hot. Those of us who've done some gardening know all about that process. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now we've planted seeds that fell in poor ground. We've planted seeds that fell among weeds. And we know that when we have planted seeds that have fallen among weeds, and he calls them thorns, it's all right. The same idea. Yeah, they grow. But they get choked out. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold. 100%. Some 60-fold. And some 30-fold. I remember when, back in high school, one of the things that was available to us as far as course of study was concerned, we had certain courses that we had to take in this class, and then we were given a choice as to certain other courses. And I chose to take agriculture. I was interested in agriculture. I had grown up in agriculture. And I thought I wanted to make it my life's work. But evidently the Lord had other plans because the opportunity was taken away. But I never forgot some of the things that I was taught in that class. At that time, 100 bushel of corn to the acre was a bumper crop, an almost unheard of thing. 60 bushel to the acre was real good. 30 bushel to the acre, well, you could get by on it. But what today? Well, I don't know how many farmers I've got in here before me. But those would be poor crops today because of the forced feeding. But anyway, they grew and they brought forth greatly. And the Lord said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now I'm going to go on down here a little ways to the 18th verse. Jesus speaking all these, but I don't want to go into that except down to the 18th verse. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." What was he saying in giving this very simple agricultural lesson to those who heard? "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart." How many times have you read the scripture and you didn't understand what it said? Going back to this high school days again, Brother Buzz. My mother from the time I was able to sit and listen, read me the scripture. And I went almost all the way through high school letting her do that very thing. I guess that was laziness. I just liked the way she did it. And I was satisfied with what she did. But you know, there came a time during that period when I began to realize that I was missing something. I was more interested, or I was becoming more interested. I'm not going to say I was completely more interested, but I was becoming more interested in my fellows and being liked, being accepted by the boys and the girls that I was growing up with. I wonder if that hits any of you young people. We all like to be accepted, don't we? We don't like to be turned down by our peers. We like for them to like us. And I wanted mine to like me. Now, I'm not going to say that I was doing some very evil, terrible things. But my interest was in the direction of pleasing those with whom I associated. But you know, along with that came an awakening that by so doing, I was drifting away from the enjoyment of the Spirit of God. I was drifting away from it. And when I suddenly came to realize what was happening, I became alarmed. And I'll tell you what happened. And oh, how grateful I am to our Heavenly Father that at the age of 17 years, I had this experience. I began to see what it was like to have the Spirit of God withdraw from me. And I'll tell you, I was scared. I was frightened. I was disturbed. And oh, how grateful I am to our Heavenly Father that He put me through it. And that was a punishment. I began to read at my mother's suggestion. And I haven't forgotten yet how the old English in which the Bible was written, King James Version was written, was difficult for me to understand. And I made this a matter of knowledge to my mother. Mom, I can't... No, I didn't call her Mom then. I called her Mama. No, I guess maybe at that time I'd graduated from Mama. I grew up Mama. I think I'd changed that to Mom by this time. After I got married and a little older, I began to be mother. So I sort of graduated from what I called her. I said, Mom, I don't understand what this says. So she said, Son, why don't you get the Book of Mormon and read it? I said, okay. So I did. And I was amazed I was amazed at what I found in it. And little by little, through prayer, through study, through anxiety, I began to feel that spirit that I had had since the day I went down into the water of baptism began to come back. It was slow. Yet it was very slow. And it took a whole lot of effort on my part to get it. But God was true to His word. It came. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. I hope that doesn't apply to any of us here. But it applies, no doubt, to a whole lot of those that we'd like to see here. Think of it. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Oh, yes, it's wonderful. Why didn't I see that before? Why didn't I understand that before? How great joy it brings to me. Now, let's go on. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Were you ever tempted to become offended because of tribulation? Because of persecution? The Lord says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Have we been persecuted? Now I see some smiles, and I see some serious faces. Have we been persecuted? Has somebody made fun of you? Because you stand for what's right. And it doesn't make any difference whether we're in school or whether we have grown to adulthood and gotten out of the school age. In fact, the case, I wonder if I've ever gotten out of the school age. I'm still learning. Or whether we're in business or what we're in. Have you ever been persecuted because of your stand for right? Now, what effect did that persecution have upon you? He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Yes, the wheat or the whatever that was sown among the thorns sprung up, began to grow, looked pretty good. He that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Oh, I know that you and I, who are here every time that there's a service, are striving hard to hold fast. And as Alvin calls it, the hardcore, the ones he can always count on being there, are the ones who are persistently holding on. And the ones who aren't here probably are the ones that need to hear the things that will help them to hold on. But they're not. But how can these things help you and me to help them? Because we've got to talk about it. We've got to remind them that they need to be here. We've got to grow in order to produce fruit. Have you been persecuted? Have you been left out? I see one shaking her head. If we run into a situation where we're stepping on somebody's toes because we hold to the right, we're going to get persecuted. I think I've said this before, but let me remind you again, maybe some of the younger folks might not have heard this. I entered the service of my country back when I was a young man. And I had my standard. And I tried to make the Lord's standard my standard. I tried to hold up the banner of Christ wherever I went. Oh, I didn't flaunt it in front of people. But you know, I was in class with a certain young man, and when this class was over, we all had our assignments to duty. My assignment happened to be in this young man's hometown, happened to be in the state of Florida. When we got there, he wanted to throw a party. He wanted to entertain all of his new friends that he'd made in the service. And I was invited, along with the rest. When we came to his house, he, like all the people of that part of the country, feel like, or say, yeah, all of them, great many of them, majority of them, feel like they want to make their guests welcome. Now, what could be more welcome than to serve them refreshments? And these refreshments happen to be alcoholic beverages. So when it came around to me, he said, Denham, what do you have, this, this, or this? And I said, how about 7-Up? Have you got some 7-Up? Yes, but what's the matter with you? Don't you drink such and such? No. I just prefer to take 7-Up. What are you? Are you a preacher? Persecution? Oh, it's there. It's there when we stand up. Now, what's it worth? What's it worth? He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Our interest in this life should be mainly to forward the kingdom of heaven. When the war was over and I began to contemplate what was going to be done when I was released, I was offered a job to continue where I was living. And my security was sure. As sure as anyone's could be. There isn't any of these things which are secure beyond any doubt. I had to make a decision. Should I stay where I was, where I had the guarantee of a lifetime job with a wonderful pension and wonderful benefits, fringe benefits all the way along? Or should I move back to independence and the church? Which pulls the greater? The work of our Heavenly Father, or the enticements of the world? And the enticements of the world have been affecting even the people of the church. You and I know that. I look back over the years and I see the effect of these things upon the members of my family. You know, I've got an awful lot. Well, I shouldn't use the word awful. I've got a very great number of relatives. And I'm not uncle to all of them, Buzz. I'm cousin to an awful lot of them. And when I think about the 12 wagons that came down here from eastern Illinois in 1867, just over 120 years ago. And I think of the descendants of those 12 families today, there's only a handful left in the church, just a little handful. Where'd the rest of them go? They wandered away because the enticements of the world looked better. Than the things which God holds out to us. Well, we're here. And I thank God that we're here. But I ache and I hurt because of those who aren't here. What's the matter? They fail to see the importance of the work of God versus the enticements and the pleasures and the disappointments of the world. He that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. And that's important to you and me, that we've got to understand what is written. And how can we do it unless we spend a whole lot of time in it? Now, I don't spend as much time in it as I'd like to. It just seems like then, in spite of all I can do, I'm pulled away here, I'm pulled away there. And I know you're in the same fix that I'm in many ways, that is. These things have to be taken care of, a lot of them do. But we've got to beware that we don't let ourselves be drawn away by things. I have to watch him. Because every once in a while somebody says something that sort of sets him off. You're not that way, are you? Why? Why are we like that? Why? Because we're human. And we're remaining human as long as we draw this breath. And as long as we're human and draw this breath, we are making our decision whom we shall serve. I can't get away from this. Well, I don't want to call it a hobby horse, but maybe it is. Maybe it's more than a hobby. Maybe it's the real thing, and I believe it is. I know it is. You and I have decisions to make every day, every hour of every day. That is our wakeful hours. Whether we're going to go down this road or whether we're going to go down that road. And one road's going to pull us when the other road seems to be the one that we ought to follow. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to be tempted by Satan because he is fighting with all his might to destroy you and me. And as long as we are in this flesh, we are susceptible to those enticements. I wish I could turn to it right now, but I can't tell you exactly where to find it, but it's in here. Maybe one of you brethren can tell me exactly the gospel, because when one of the four, the chapter and the verse. Jesus made this statement to his disciples just before he departed from their midst. In other words, just before he was crucified. He thanked them for standing with him in his days of temptation. And you know, for a long time I thought the only time that Jesus was tempted was the 40 days right after he was baptized. Because it says he was led up to be tempted of Satan into the wilderness. And for a long time I had the idea that, well, after that it was all over. He was beyond these problems. But you know, the way he said it to his disciples indicates to me that he had his problems until he had finished his work. What was his work? To die on the cross for you and me. He that received the good seed, or received seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, 100 bushels to the acre. Oh, that's a bumper crop. Are you and I yielding a bumper crop? Serious question, isn't it? Some 60. Oh, wait a minute. That's just a little bit over half of the other, isn't it? 60 bushels to the acres. And, oh, that's better than 50 bushels, which is only a half of 100. Well, even 60 is pretty good. But it's not perfect. And some 30. Now, I hope that we all consider ourselves of that group. But we fall into one of those four. Either we ignore the Word of God, or we like to hear it as long as it doesn't interfere with what we want to do. You remember what Job's wife said to him after Job was suffering so much? And the Lord said, Job is perfect. She saw him suffer so much. Said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? It's not worth it. We can't afford it, can we? Do we fall in the third group? Where the persecution, the deceitfulness of riches, the care of this world, the care of this world, or where we bear fruit. And Jesus said back here, recorded in John, the 15th chapter, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear a little fruit. I misquoted that, and I did it purposely. No, not a little fruit. Herein is your Father glorified, in that ye bear much fruit. And that's our job, isn't it? You know, I think you've heard me say once before, but again, I want to repeat it. I don't think that the Lord expects us just to say something and then never say it again. We have to remind ourselves, I do, I was given a manifestation one night. I'm not going into detail because you've heard the detail before. But I want to give you the words that will put across to you the feeling that was there. I didn't hear the voice, as I said before. I didn't hear a voice. But I might as well have heard a voice. It was just as clear as though I had heard a voice. The coming of Christ is very near. Are you and I ready for it? Are those around us that we love ready for it? Are we helping them to prepare to be ready for it? And then came, well, it's hard to put it other than a strong impression, as though it were words. What would you give to have oil in your vessel? Oh, listen. What would you give to be ready at that moment? Because after that, it's too late. What is eternal life really worth? Why, it's worth all the persecution that will come. It's worth all the inconveniences that we have to put up with to do the things that have to be done. But oh, how the pressures come. But that's part of the battle. Brothers and sisters, I'm looking forward in hope, in anticipation of running a successful race. But my race is not over yet. Neither is yours. Pray for me that I may be successful in bearing fruit for my Master. And that we, each one, may be successful in bearing much fruit for our Master. And I can assure you, there's not a day go by I never go to my rest until I have asked God to bless and strengthen you, because I want you to be able to have that great joy. And I plead with you to pray for me, because God has said, the prayer of a righteous man, and I'm not standing up here saying, I am righteous. I'm trying to be righteous. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much before God. And I remember well, 9 years ago, today, I was lying in the hospital, wondering, hoping that I was going to survive that awful disease of cancer. That's 9 years ago. Your prayers I know were in my behalf at that time,
And thank God, they availed till 9 years later. I can stand before you. May God bless each and every one of you as my prayer daily. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicholas. We now have an administration to follow.
Brother Frank and Brother Allen.
Can we close with the singing of hymn number 76, please?